Let's go ahead and set the topic up, and perhaps you, some of our listeners, can join us in getting the ball rolling here. Today, we're talking about what it means to write to an elected official or call their office about something you care about. Have you ever done that? You're definitely not alone. On average, during a legislative session, one Oregon state senator says he logged nearly 1,000 emails from constituents and at least several dozen phone calls every single day. Our guest, when we get a hold of her, she is a communications director for that senator, and her husband is Chris Edwards, a senator from Eugene. We're going to be talking about what constituents care enough to call or write about to discuss and how people can maximize the volume of their voices. This is a perennial topic. I know I once worked in a congressional office and was amazed with the amount of letters and phone calls that flooded in every day, and then the process for deciding how to respond to them, which ones got individual responses, which ones got a form letter, and how all that input eventually filtered down into policy proposals or legislative changes. So that's the topic of the hour. Because we're talking about constituent concerns, about what people care about, this conversation is especially in need of your input. Again, that's 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I'm Emily Cureton, and our guest is Tiffany Telfer Edwards. She's communications director for Senator Chris Edwards, also her husband. She joins us now to discuss what people care enough to contact the senator about. Tiffany, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So, real briefly, could you lay out the geographic bounds represented by Senator Edwards?
Well, Senator Edwards represents, the Eugene, north part of Eugene, west part of Eugene, and then into Junction City, and it's roughly 129,000 constituents.
Wow. I was at 129,000 constituents, and you hear from them with frequency. Is that correct?
You know, that's correct. We definitely hear from folks. We have our regulars that we hear from frequently on issues. And then, obviously, we hear from folks kind of sporadically throughout the year when they have constituent issues or matters that they need help resolving with a state agency or whatnot. So it kind of varies based on what time of year it might be.
Right. So what were the pressing issues during this past, just wrapped up short session for the legislature?
Well, I think a lot of the issues that we heard from folks on, obviously the minimum wage, and I know you just talked about that on air. That was a really hot topic. We heard from a lot of folks on that. And then because Senator Edwards happens to be the chair of the Environment and Natural Resource Committee in the Senate, we also tend to hear a lot about environmental issues, so everything from the Healthy Climate Act, GMOs, forestry issues. We did some legislation on coal transitioning and so things like that. So and wolves. A lot of folks weighed in on the delisting of wolves. So it tends to skew a little bit more towards the environmental topics. But we certainly, like lodging taxes and all kinds of other things that we do hear from folks about.
And do these letters tend to be organized by some kind of umbrella organization working towards advocacy, or are you getting handwritten or individual emails?
We get, so typically we receive the majority of emails come through in the form of form letters, and generally, advocacy groups will launch their membership and really activate them to reaching out to their legislators, their Senate and House members, to weigh in and share their position, for or against a bill. And so those are the majority of what we receive. But we do also tend to receive individual personalized correspondence, either via phone or via email. Rarely do we see typed out or written letters, but those personalized emails usually are generated because they heard something in the news or, just kind of heard through the grapevine of something. So it tends to be a little bit, they're few and far between on the personalized emails, but we certainly always suggest that people send personalized emails because they really do help get a more robust response.
Yeah, speaking of the responses, does every letter, I think you quoted, you know, nearly 1,000 emails from constituents during a legislative session. Do every single one of those get a response?
Well, I would say yes and no. So they all receive a response that is just a system response that says that, yes, we have received your email. You know, we're not ignoring you, but because we receive so many, we can't possibly respond to everybody. So the form emails, everyone gets a response that just that says that your opinion has been registered and we are keeping track. But then folks that reach out personally, I have a policy that, you know, we try 100% to respond to those personally as well. So I myself will respond if it's something that I can answer or speak to. But I also solicit the senators' responses oftentimes. And you know, a lot of times it's really, they really need to come from him. And so we do, you know, we do spend time on the evenings and weekends just sitting and, you know, responding to constituents very personally with, you know, why he might be supporting a bill or why he hasn't decided yet or whatnot. So he's pretty involved in the process as well.
We're talking with Tiffany Telfer Edwards. She's communications director for Oregon State Senator Chris Edwards. He's also chair of the Environmental and Natural Resource Committee. I'm Emily Curitan, and we hope you will join this discussion about the stuff people care about enough to contact elected officials. Number is 800-838-3760, or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Let us know what you care about, what your experience trying to contact elected officials has been like. So we're just talking about the response, and you said people, yes and no to does everyone get a response, just given the sheer bulk of them, there is a form that sort of bounces back to these emails. Could you walk us through the day in the life of a snail mail letter that comes into Senator Edwards' office?
Yeah, so, you know, the mail is distributed by a central mail system in the Capitol. So it sometimes takes a few days longer than, you know, an ordinary letter may take. And so those are delivered to boxes that we have to, you know, physically go retrieve. And I usually have a staffer, I usually have like an intern or somebody just go through all the mail and then sort out the letters that we get. And I can honestly say that this session, we received two letters from constituents, and neither were on legislation. So, but if we do receive them on legislation, we love when they include a phone number or an email address because that makes it really easy to respond. And then we'll typically, you know, provide the same response that maybe we got your correspondence, we got your letter, thank you for participating in the process. And then we just either let them know if the senator has taken a position on that particular bill, and if not, you know, maybe why, because we all know that bills are introduced in one format and oftentimes are completely changed before they actually come to the floor for a vote. And so committing to a yes or no on any given bill is often tricky because we just don't know exactly what it will look like when it comes to the floor.
Were there any issues in this last session where you were able to commit when people were contacting you about, say, wolves or transitioning from coal and GMO and Healthy Climate Act and all these things? Which ones had the most direct form letter response? Or is the verbiage always hedging because you don't know what's going to happen?
Yeah, and that's usually, you know, I connect with the senator regularly and just ask him, you know, what are you comfortable with me sharing on this particular bill or whatnot? Obviously, the Healthy Climate Act was his bill. That was his project for the last 8 months that he's been working on. So he knew that bill inside and out and was completely supportive of it, and it was, you know, his number one priority for this session. So we were, you know, we were able to just come right out and say, of course, he's supporting this bill. This is his bill. But there were some other bills that he did provide a response to, and he was very honest about it. The coal transition bill, he wasn't entirely supportive at first because there were some provisions that he would like to have seen expanded. They were able to accommodate those changes, and so then he did become supportive. But he would, you know, he's very forthcoming as to why he may not be supportive of something. The minimum wage was another topic that he was able to share with folks that, as introduced, he didn't support the minimum wage, and he wanted, in order to support an increase, he wanted to see certain provisions, which were able to be met, and he ended up supporting the minimum wage bill. So, and sometimes I'll wait. I'll actually wait until the bill is heading to the floor, and I'll then respond with a second response that's very specific, and I'll say, this bill is actually headed to the floor. Senator Edwards is going to be a yes today. So I try to do that as well.
We're talking with Tiffany Telfer Edwards, Communications Director for Oregon State Senator Chris Edwards of Eugene. Tiffany, in this past session or recent sessions of memory, were there issues that actually came to the senator's attention through citizen advocacy, through these emails or mailing campaigns organized by advocacy groups?
You know, I think that generally the issues that come forward, so on any particular bill or whatnot, you might have specific issues that come about because of the result of things that people are bringing to our attention. And I'll give an example. Minimum wage was one of the issues that, you know, on the surface sounded, you know, like a good idea and whatnot. But as we heard from folks in the agricultural sector of our state, as well as, you know, small businesses, nonprofit organizations, we were hearing from a lot of these people who would reach out with personal stories, and it made a difference. It actually changed his position, you know, going into it. It's why
How
he
so?
Advocated. Well, I mean, because he was able to recognize that, you know, they were really specific on how, you know, this type of increase would affect their bottom line or, you know, what they need to pay out on a monthly basis. And so he was able to take those conversations to the table, to the caucus meetings, and say, look, you know, I'm not going to be as supportive of this bill unless we can address some of these issues, because, you know, this is just one person, but they represent a whole sector that we know is out there. And so that it's really important that people reach out, because I think that, you know, telling their stories and how a bill is very specifically going to affect them makes a difference to the legislators, because they, you know, we have legislators that stand up on the floor and read constituent emails and explain that that is why they are a no on this bill. So it really does impact the votes.
Yeah, so it sounds like it makes a difference when people keep track of bills. What's the best way to do that?
Well, we use a system, and it's a public system as well, and it's the OregonLegislature.gov website. It is extremely helpful. There's a tab called Citizen Engagement, and if you just kind of read through some of the topics that you can learn more about, it really helps people to become up to speed on, you know, what's the path of a bill? I mean, how does it even get from introduction to passing? And then beyond that, you know, you can identify bills that you're interested in following, and you can track them through the process through that website. You just do an e-subscribe on as many bills as you'd like. And so it'll tell you when there's opportunities to testify, when there's hearings that are coming up on the bill, when there's a vote. It's just a really helpful way. It's how I track bills as well. I mean, I e-subscribe to everything that we need to keep track of, and it just sends me an alert anytime something changes with the bill. So it's really, really helpful.
Right. And so by e-subscribing, and this link is also on our website, jeffexchange.org, people can submit public testimony. And is that weightier than writing an email or calling your elected official?
Yeah, I would say so, absolutely. When you submit testimony that's entered into the public record for a bill, and, you know, going a step beyond would be to look at trying to provide in-person testimony, which is also really impactful. You're speaking to the committee members directly. And, you know, folks can appear in person. And I know it's tricky because sometimes their hearings are on a one-hour notice when we get towards the end of session. But, you know, certainly folks that are really feel passionate about a topic If they reach out in enough time and we know that they want to be, they want to testify or provide input, they can make provisions, anything from doing a phone, testifying by phone, or, we've done some Skype testimony before. So usually the committee administrator can make those certain arrangements if somebody really feels strongly about testifying. So it's good to know.
Is the actual session, legislative session, the best time to press elected officials? Is that when the bulk of the advocacy that you get from your constituents makes the biggest difference?
I would say so, but at the same time, because of the mass bulk of emails, it's also, it's easier for them to get lost in the pile. But I think that, folks that really start to pay attention early on and start to read and get listen to the news and are hearing about the things that are coming down the pipeline, I think at that point, weighing in can also be effective, just knowing that we have things that are on the docket for any given session is helpful. But during an interim is also a great time for constituents to reach out with ideas and ideas for legislation. A lot of our constituent cases that we end up dealing with often require just a simple legislative fix that we then take to a session. And that's where a lot of bills come from, is from constituent advocacy and suggestion.
And Tiffany Telfer Edwards from Senator Edwards' office, with just a few seconds left, does a follow-up phone call just irk staffers or drive your message home?
I think, a follow-up phone call is always great. The more we hear, the more it reinforces that message. But, I always make sure to let people know that, we're doing our best, we're tracking it. But, certainly email, I would say, is probably the preferential method of communication, because we can really be on top
All right.
of email.
We're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you for being here, Tiffany Telfer Edwards.
Thank you so much, Emily.
All right. Back on The Exchange in a minute.